Okay, welcome to Gaming on Linux. I don't even remember the episode number because it is...
Let's call it episode X.
Yeah, but if you go that route, then wouldn't Mac OS X... Oh, wait, it was 10. So I don't know how many times I got lectured about, it's Mac OS 10, or Mac OS now. So we're here with me and the cheesiness.
Hello.
What have we been up to? I'll let Cheese go first because mine's going to be long-winded probably.
I'll try not to be long-winded, but you know me. So, I guess since last time I was on, I shipped a patch for Day of the Tentacle, which previously mentioned that I did the Linux port of. This one had some CPU optimizations that I didn't have time to fit into the actual release. And it also put in some extra things to give a better experience for people who are having trouble, so better error messaging, better configuration stuff for ALSA users who had configurations that fmod didn't like some launch options where you could specify the audio device that it should be using and that sort of stuff. And this seems pretty well received. It's currently a little bit of an issue in that the version of Mesa that the game requires isn't available on SteamOS, but I've been talking with Valve about getting that updated, so hopefully that will be sorted soon. Maybe it's already sorted. I don't know. I don't run SteamOS. I also went to PAX Australia recently, which was a bunch of fun. Got to talk to a lot of developers, a lot of whom are supporting Linux and stuff. I got to play Lucas Pope's new game, Return of the Obra Dinn, which is looking really cool. And he's planning to do Linux support again, which is awesome.
Nice.
He's a guy... Did I just say that he's the guy that made Papers, Please? I meant to say that.
You just did now.
Hooray! But yeah, he's the guy that made Papers, Please. And his new game, you play as a person who's investigating what happened to the crew of this mysterious ship. And the primary mechanic is that you have this kind of... I don't know, I'm going to call it a death compass because that sounds cool, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You look at a corpse... and you will be transported back, frozen in time, to the moment of their death. And looking at what's happening, like, you hear a few seconds of audio before you see anything to kind of contextualize what's going on, and then you kind of look around at what's happening and try and work out who the person that you're looking at is and how they died. And so you've got, like, a crew manifest list, which has all the names and stuff, and you've got a photo of the crew. And using deduction, you kind of meant to match up the crew names with what they look like, so you can work out who they are. And you've got to say, you know, whether they lived, whether they died, how they died, and in that way, kind of, you know, come up with a big picture of what happened to all of the people who are on the ship. And it's really fascinating. It's got this sweet kind of high fidelity, low fidelity graphic style, so it's using real-time shadows and stuff, monochromatic, so it's only got two colors. It does real-time dithering to present, you know, interesting shades in between, and it just looks amazing. That's probably my most exciting game that I'm excited about from PAX Australia, but there were just so many other people there, a lot of cool people who were doing, you know, playing to do cool Linux stuff, and looking forward to seeing more. I'm hoping to find time to write up something more in depth about my experiences, but I've been pretty busy. And the other thing that I've been busy with has been the game engine that I'm writing, which is the engine that I'm using for Winter's Wake, for anybody who's heard of that. I've been adding some editor tools, and I'm currently in the middle of running a small game jam / focus group type thing, where I'm inviting people to give me early feedback that will help me know whether I'm on the right track before I start pushing things up. And that's really cool to get a bunch of different people's perspectives on how the tools work and what kind of things they might want to do with the engine. I've had to say a couple of times, yeah, look, this engine's not a good fit for what you want to do. But I've also had the opportunity to add a lot of stuff I haven't thought of to my to-do list, which is really cool.
Next.
Yeah. So, about you, what have you been up to?
Me? Oh, wow. Well, we just had you know, holiday here in the U.S. For those that don't know, we celebrate this weird thing, Thanksgiving. It's a interesting holiday. But anyway, Americans, we eat and sit around with family that some of us probably don't like and pretend that we do.
Nothing like those, you know, family obligation-oriented holidays.
Yeah, you know, but hey. And we stuff our face and watch football. No, or sorry, American football, not soccer, football. Type, so before I get yelled at for that. And then we fall asleep, and that is our day. Some people might drink. That's pretty much it. But other than that, I am been busy with just life, you know, work. We did the last show that I did was, you know, with the Linux Gamer back when I made a trip up on my personal YouTube channel, doing some Linux distro reviews and pointing out some of the much different ones. Just unfortunately, my Linux install that I had on my prior desktop before I reinstalled it was just starting to show its age. I was running Linux Mint 17.3 Cinnamon. So, you know, that's a, 1404 base. So I decided I got tired of adding PPAs to try to keep up to date. So I went with Manjaro. So I completely went to a... Arch Linux users will tell me it's not Arch, but it is close enough to Arch. More up-to-date distro. So I spent probably about a week doing that and reinstalling games and getting stuff how I liked on Manjaro. And then I recently bought a Steam controller, which I will be plugging into my Steam box / laptop that gets here in a couple of days to test that out and, you know, have that as my Steam box for a while, see how that works. So just a lot of personal projects more than anything else. Not so much work related stuff, but I haven't had a lot of time for gaming, unfortunately, because of work and life and personal projects. And just being busy, trying to catch up on some games. Finally been playing Deadfall Adventures. You know,
oh, yeah, like, what's that?
It's like Indiana Jones meets, trying to think of a way to really describe it. Indiana Jones meets Serious Sam.
Okay.
So like the art style is like the indie feel, but it's like that Serious Sam type vibe of like, because of the engine's the same, but just like the gameplay wise is like the Serious Sam feel. So it's interesting. It is one of those games that I wish would be updated, but I know it's not going to be because the porter has since moved on.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that that Nordic's in-house people aren't kind of doing so good a job of maintaining or pushing ahead their own projects.
Yeah, because I'm not going to lie, I would have liked to have seen Darksiders and that stuff that they had mentioned, you know, actually come out, but it is what it is.
Did you say that used the Sirius engine?
Yeah, one of them. I know it uses the...
No, it uses Unreal 3.
Does it?
Yeah, yeah. Same as Painkiller Hell and Damnation.
Because I thought it used the Sirius Sam 3 engine for some reason.
It's UE3.
Yep, I am definitely wrong on there. Interesting. Well, I stand corrected then. Either way.
Yeah, it's got an interesting... I think it's kind of got a similar gameplay feel to Painkiller, which I have played a little bit. And that's kind of interesting in that it feels more Quake-ish than Unreal Tournament-ish.
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit... the gunplay... the best way I can describe it is the gunplay is very Serious Sam, but there's a puzzle element to some of the game too, so there's like these weird like slowdowns and stuff. So I think that's probably about the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I'm gonna check it out at some point, I think.
I was gonna say I was able to get it last time I was on sale for like $5 or $6. US $5 or $6. So you can get it fairly cheap though. I wouldn't recommend paying the I think $39.99 that it goes for on Steam, but. We are going to talk about strategy games today. Liam recently put out a list of some of his favorite strategy games. Me and Cheese both looked at this. We have played essentially none of these.
I've played a couple, but I haven't spent any time in OpenRA. I haven't played Company Zero 2. And yeah, like aside from XCOM and Planetary Annihilation, I haven't really played any of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't played XCOM 2, so I can't comment. XCOM, you know, the new one, I of course love. I think it was a great update to the game. You know,
it still feels like there are a couple of spots that feel like low effort, obvious room for improvement, which I'd like to see them iterate on in future in future sequels or expansions.
Yeah, of course, there's always going to be room for improvement.
Like with these kinds of games, you're churning through a lot of people, you know, you dude bros die, you treat them like red shirts a lot of the time. And I kind of feel like it would be really valuable, and it feels like they've kind of like half gone down this road of putting some emotional resonance on, you know, character death. And so there are mechanics that make... are there mechanics that make some units
They have less
effective when someone dies?
And
they can panic and stuff, right?
Yeah.
They also add the memorial in, but the memorial is... I don't know. Like, number two added in the opportunity for, like, writing your own epitaphs for your units. And that's kind of nice, but I kind of feel like, you know, they've got all these procedurally generated characters, they've got all these models, they've got all these environments, and the game tracks which units have been active in which missions and stuff, so it would be kind of trivial, although I can understand how it is something that you would easily take off the to-do list if you had other work to do, but it would be kind of trivial to just rig up a couple of static poses using those generated models and stuff and put them as photos of the dead dudes with their squad mates, right? Like, the idea of them existing as characters outside of the combat missions that you give them.
Yeah.
You're seeing them sitting around, having fun, doing whatever. And maybe having a procedurally generated epitaph that referenced some of the things that they did. Like, you know, they once took down, you know, a muton with one hit, and it was amazing, and every, you know, they saved the day kind of thing. You're like, if that sort of stuff was automatically generated and popped in there, I think you would totally feel so much more about the character death.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would make the death of a unit feel a little more impactful as a because essentially you are taking the role of a commander, so it would make it'd be like, oh hey, look, I just lost, you know, five units. There would be some type of like emotional connection there.
I mean, they show faces now, which is really good. There's just like a mugshot, like in New XCOM, the first reboot. They just had a list of names and some bagpipe music.
Yeah.
Like, it really didn't do anything useful there. but yeah, so it seems like it's something that they're starting to think more about, which is cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're putting that kind of thought into it, though.
Yeah. I think there was something else I was going to say. New XCOM, and I can't remember what it was, so don't worry about it. Yeah, there was something else. Multiplayer, like, for both of them, both of the reboot series, just feels like it's been phoned in. Like, yeah, like, to me, the thing that makes the game interesting is exploring a space, discovering unexpected aliens along the way, and then, you know, controlling that space. When you play, like, just deathmatch skirmish, and you've got, you know, you get to pick your points values and everyone gets balanced up, like, it's meant to feel a little bit more like chess, I guess, where everyone's meant to be balanced and stuff, but it doesn't seem to hit on the things that make the actual, you know, mission content of XCOM interesting. I would personally love to see an option where you played like split squad co-op, so I control three units, you control three units, and together we explore a skirmish map type thing. I think that would be a lot more interesting than the kind of multiplayer it's got at the moment.
Yeah, and I was going to say, to me, I don't want to say it's an afterthought. It feels bare bones, I guess, is probably what I would say.
Yeah.
That's just my feeling. I'm not going to lie. I
mean, it's a good game. I don't want to rag on it at all.
The,
you know, everything else is pretty solid.
We will these are like nitpicks more than anything else. You know, these are things we would like to see. So these are personal opinions. Oh God.
I haven't finished a full run of New XCOM yet. I kind of do feel like its approach to timers is a little bit excessive. And there's like, I never feel like I have any understanding, like particularly in the, like in the world map. I have no real comprehension of what impact my decisions have on the timers that are counting down. So I don't, or at least, you know, I'm starting to get it now, I guess, but I'm 3/4 of the way through a game, I think. And I guess it's not a bad thing to have, like, your first run is your learning experience and your subsequent ones are where you have the actual fun. But yeah, I don't know, there's all these timers counting down. I never know whether... it doesn't do a good job of communicating the value of one action over another when trying to explore that possibility space. Like, the thing that makes it, I think, some of the tactical, or the strategy, the thing that makes, like, the mission, the strategic mission gameplay interesting is, like, you've got these little indicators all along the, you know, throughout everything that let you make value judgments and assess the situation you're in. So when you're moving, you see a shield icon or a half shield icon and you understand that that's cover and you can make a value judgment about where you move and you understand intuitively what's going on there. But you go back into the map view and you've got these timers counting down. Some of them are resources, some of them are missions, some of them are like alien covert things that you don't know anything about, and weighing up which ones are more important, I don't think you're given quite enough information to be able to make those kind of decisions.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I would tend to agree with that assessment. I mean,
I've enjoyed it so far. But yeah, I just kind of feel like I'm always panicked and always on the run and never really know whether or not I've made good decisions in retrospect. I guess that's the other thing as well, is that even after you've made a decision, it's difficult to know what impact it had.
Yeah. Two games that I want to mention that are not on the list for the open source fans. Yes, Zero AD and Battle for West Noth are both great games.
Yeah, I see those mentioned prominently in the comments, hey.
Yeah, I was going to say, they are very solid open source games.
I've never, ever enjoyed Battle for West Noth at all. Kind of like strategy games, and it looks very polished, but every time I start it up, I just... It frustrates the shit out of me, and I just cannot get through a tutorial or a mission without just turning it off because I'm not having fun, turning into an ugly rage monster. I'm like, get out of here!
Have you played Zero AD?
No, I haven't. That's the that's like a recreation, isn't it? Of
I'm not going to say exactly what it is because I'll butcher it. It's one of those games you'll have to play.
It's bugging me.
It'd be like playing like Pharaoh or any of those type of games.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, it is an original game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was Age of Empires 2 or something.
It's not a remake. It's
an original game. Yeah.
It's its own engine. It's everything.
I feel bad for not knowing that off the top of my head, but it looks sweet. Like I hear lots of people talking about it, and I'm really glad that it exists, even if I haven't had a chance to check it out. It seems like.
And the nice
really
thing is an open source game, and when I say open source, from everything that I understand about it, it is that everything from the artwork to the engine, if I'm not mistaken, like everything is open source for it.
Yeah, cool.
And I think it's done by makes a game. Wildfire is the company that makes it or works on it. I wanted to give those two games kind of a shout out because I don't think they get enough love from the Linux gaming community.
Yeah, I feel like I see a lot of people like really speaking highly of them, but I think there still seems to be a little bit of separation between people who play nothing but games on Steam and people who play
video games.
Things beyond Steam. You know, like. There seems to be, and I guess this is true on Windows as well, there's a contingent of people who just exclusively only play stuff that's on Steam and aren't that interested in anything beyond that, which, I don't know, I don't really like that kind of approach, but I guess it's fair enough.
Yeah, because for some people, gaming on PC or Linux or Windows or whatever OS you are on is essentially Steam. And for some people, it might be simply GOG because that, you know, no DRM thing or whatever, you know. I think limiting your options is kind of stupid, personally. That's just me, though.
I prefer to buy stuff off Steam and get a key and activate it on Steam, because if I can get more money to the developers, then that's in my best interests and their best interests.
Exactly. I know for me personally, I will, as you said, I will buy off a developer's website or Itch.io or, you know, wherever I can give the developer or publisher, whatever, X, Y, whatever best works for the game and sends the most money their way.
Yeah.
That is where I personally prefer. But other than that,
so to bring
anyway,
up another game that's not on Steam.
Yes.
I've been playing a bit of Overland. Mm. I got in with the first round of first access stuff. And have you heard anything about it?
I have not heard anything about this.
Okay. It's really, really cool. So it's a turn-based strategy where you play as a group of survivors who are driving from east to west across post-apocalyptic North America.
Interesting.
So you start off on the east coast, you get a car, you get a friend, you're shown like this map, and you can make decisions about, do I go here? It's less fuel, but there are it's less fuel to get there. There's fewer interesting supplies, or do I take the longer route that uses more fuel? It's a bit safer, but there's a chance of more supplies, and so you're always constantly managing everything. Everything is a consumable. Your weapons will degrade over time. Your car runs out of fuel. You have health kits that you got to worry about, there are a few other bits and pieces. And then when you get into the gameplay itself, it's a 9x9 grid, I think. So it's quite small, and the amount of space you've got to work with is also quite small. And as you progress through the game, you end up facing tougher and tougher enemies. How many enemies you end up facing is always hard to say. Sometimes they're going to be other people, like other survivors. If you've got if you have characters in your party who have high enough charisma, you can use them to invite angry people to join your party. But it's also possible to just ignore them and move on. But then the whole thing that the game centers around is these monsters. I don't know whether they're aliens or what they are, but when you kill them, more spawn. So that immediately pushes the focus on get out of your car, get supplies, try and avoid the enemies rather than killing them. Like, killing them is sort of the last resort, because as soon as you kill a couple, the amount of enemies on the field is doubled, and you've got to, you know, get out as fast as you can. And it plays out really, really nicely. And you kind of churn through your characters. It does a lot better job of building up that kind of sense of loss when you lose a character. But because it's about the party rather than any individual people within it, you know, you continue onwards so long as you've got someone. And you can pull a dog into your party, and they've got their own abilities and stuff, which is really cool. I'm really liking the direction it's taken. It's still early in development, but it's got pretty solid style and really solid gameplay to it.
I'll think about a check out. It sounds something that would be interesting. It sounds like almost like a, I don't want to say Oregon Trail, but it's got some of those kind of elements from the sounds of it, though.
It does feel really harrowing as well. You know, you might feel like you're in a good spot, but you never feel like you're in control and that everything is safe, you know? And if you choose to just use all of your fuel and drive on to the next zone, because it's divided into, like, 5 zones, I think. And the first one's this kind of, like, urban zone that you start in for the tutorial level, and then you go into this kind of autumn-flavored foresty zone, then you go into this, arid canyony zone, and then there's a mountainy zone and stuff, and they all kind of got this sense of time passing and geographical progression about it, which is really nice. And I have no idea where I was going with that, but it's, you know, I'm really, really impressed. Yeah, definitely no finished game yet, but Yeah, really, really, really like it.
Nice. I'll definitely have to give that a check out. I brought, Cheese and I were kind of talking about some of the games on this list, and we noticed there are some games that, now I know this is a personal list, so obviously everyone has a different opinion on what RTS stands for. To me,
well, I think this is like a list of strategy games rather than real-time strategy games.
It is. Most of these seem to be in the real-time vein, though, barring, I think, Total War or Warhammer that I saw.
There's also XCOM. It's turn-based, but yeah, most of them do seem to be real-time.
Nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. The Grand...
Europa...
Unisolvus, thank you. The Grand Strategy games, shall we say. You know, things like Crusader Kings 2, those type of games. I don't think seem to get a lot of love on some of these lists sometimes.
I think it's tricky because they have like a high time investment that you've got to put in. Like they take a lot more to play than something that's a bit shorter and mission based that you can put down after an hour, you know?
Yeah. What's always the thing with like Civilization? It was just one more turn, right?
But you feel like that's your choice rather than, you know, the game not offering you somewhere to stop.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess I can understand that, but while games like Crusader Kings 2 and Europa Unisolvus are very much time investments, I think, though, as far as like for me personally, anyway, I have so many hours logged off on Crusader Kings 2 Steve has not counted. It is just one of those type of games where it's like once you get into it, you are really into it. It is very much like Civilization in those kind of games.
I've not played either of them, and that's probably the reason why I haven't, because I know that if they suck up my life, I won't get any work done, so I'm kind of not in a position where I can spare a huge amount of time like that, which is why I don't play Civ Beyond Earth either.
I will definitely say that if you play them, they like how World of Warcraft was at one point, you know, it was called World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Same kind of...
I don't play MMOs either for the same reason. Yeah. Like, I'm not good at putting things down. I would just die.
Exactly my problem. Some of these... what are some of the other games that you noticed that were being called out by in the comments?
That's a good question. While I'm still scrolling and looking for more, there are two of my favorite strategy games were not mentioned at all in the article, or really prominently in the comments, which is interesting. I guess I have different tastes to everyone else, but I love the hell out of Invisible Ink and Massive Chalice. I think they're both really interesting explorations that push turn-based strategies in directions that they don't seem to often go. So Massive Chalice is all about this really broad view thing where you take your units off the field and you use them to breed the next generation of units that you're going to have. So you've got this genealogy aspect, this generational gameplay that you've got to consider. And you put them into battles to get them experience so that they'll be higher level and we'll be able to have higher level offspring. But at the same time, you know, like if you take them off the field, then they're possibly your best units, and you've got to weigh up the risk versus reward of that. And I think that's a lot of fun. And Invisible Ink is this really short scale. You've got like 72 hours to do it as far as the game is, you know, the game's fiction is concerned. So it's all this rushing to get more units or to get resources or to get intelligence. And it kind of plays out. It reminds me a little bit of Syndicate in terms of how you go about selecting which missions you're going to perform and how you go about picking your unit loadouts and stuff. But it's got that turn-based strategy gameplay, and like Overland, it's kind of structured in a way that prevents you from having solid map control. It's like XCOM and whatever else are all about getting map control and pretty much killing everything. But Invisible Ink's got a timer that counts up. And every time that timer passes a threshold, the amount of enemies in the building will increase, the amount of stuff that you have you know, the amount of hack resources you have to expend to hack things increases. So there's like, it gets more and more challenging the longer you take to achieve your objective. So the game encourages you to consider ignoring your primary goal and getting out safely to be of higher priority than taking, you know, suffering heavy losses and still achieving the objective. Whereas that's definitely not the focus of things like XCOM.
Yeah.
So those are two I really, really like.
I was going to say, one that I have a decent chunk of hours in that I usually don't mention, and I do appreciate the Total War series, but this particular one...
Yeah, I was just about to mention Total War.
This particular one, I always love Medieval 2 Total War. One of my favorite versions of the game.
Yeah, I think I know the composer who did that. Let me double check.
I just love how that game is made.
Yeah, I feel bad. I've not played that at all.
If you get the chance, it is definitely worth it. Yes, it is one of those. It's a Total War game, so yes, you can. It's one more turn kind of thing. But
yeah. So the guy that did the soundtrack for it is also the guy that did Hand of Fate and Assault Android Cactus.
Oh, nice! And I enjoy both soundtracks on those.
Yeah. No, he's a really cool guy.
But I don't think the Total War games get a lot of love at times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see them mentioned a couple times in the comments, which is nice. Also see Pandora First Contact, which has been on my radar for a long time, but I haven't had a chance to play.
You know it's on sale on Steam right now.
I don't know. I'm like, if I have more games than I can play, I can't justify buying stuff on sale.
I would love to be that practical.
Because I'm like, if I don't get it, I still have stuff to play, so I haven't lost anything. If I do get it, then I probably won't have time to play it, so I've lost money.
I can understand that.
But also, you know, if it turns out to be a game I like, and I it turns out that I paid nothing for it, you know, Steam doesn't offer me any ability to make that difference up. You know, if I get something cheap and then feel that I got more value out of it, there's no opportunity for me to fix that. So I'd rather be more patient and go on the other side, save up my pennies, skip a few meals, get a cool game, support people.
Definitely understand that. I mean, there are a few other games that I can mention. You know, there's, Warlock? I believe I can find it on my Steam games here. Warlock 2. Yeah,
is that on
Warlock
Linux?
2, The Exile. That's on Linux.
Yeah, okay.
And
I haven't even heard of those.
Age of Wonders 3 are both on Linux, if you want some different type of strategy games. Some people might complain that Age of Wonders is kind of like Crusader Kings 2 as far as how it does DLC. That's, you know, I'll leave that up to other people to debate personally, whatever. I don't have a problem with how CK2 does DLC. It's not essential to the core game. It just, it's expansion. They're micro expansion packs to me. Kind of what DLC should have been. Then there are other games that I'm going to ask you, Cheese, are some of your favorite strategy games, regardless of platform?
You know, I still feel like Overland, Invisible Ink, and Massive Chalice stand out beyond anything else, but, I mean, I cut my teeth on Dune 2, and that will always be, like, this special RTS that I spent a lot of time on and really enjoyed and got sucked into. What was its name? I can't even remember. The 3D Dune RTS.
Not Dune 2.
It's Battle for Dune, is that what it was?
I think. I just had it too. Dune.
Yeah, it's Emperor Battle for Dune. I knew it had Emperor somewhere in there, but I really like that. And I like the metagame that they pushed into that. I thought that was a lot of fun. I need to find it again. I'm not sure that I ever actually owned it. So I'll have to sort that out and come back to it at some point. But I also spent a lot of time playing like StarCraft 1 and really liked the way that pushed storytelling into that moment to moment gameplay. Like, you know, you're doing a mission and you think you know what's going on, and then mid mission things change and suddenly your objectives change, and your entire role in the mission is different. And that kind of in-game storytelling was something that I was really sad to not see in StarCraft 2.
I will probably ruin my strategy game cred. I refuse to play StarCraft 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I played the first part, which was the Terran campaign, I was like, you know, this isn't great. It's got potential, yeah. I guess. Yeah, yeah. And I felt like every game or every part after that, like, started strong, finished weaker than the previous one, to the point where, and I mean, I knew that Blizzard weren't the same company anymore, but now that I've finished StarCraft 2, I feel really good to not be personally invested in any Blizzard properties right now. Just like, I'm free of that. Don't have to think about them anymore.
My gripe was more of the, oh, we're not going to have LAN.
Yeah, that's nonsense. Absolutely
not
a nonsense.
That was exactly why, as soon as they said, we're not doing LAN, and that is essentially what I said. That's why I'm not buying it.
Yeah, they had offline play, which I was like, if they have offline play, then that's okay. I don't play a lot of multiplayer, so, you know, won't be, you know, LAN play not being there kind of sucks, but I, at the time, I kind of felt like they were going to back down on that, and I was like, you know, they'll eventually come to it, because there have been, like, tournaments and stuff that have been ruined because of internet connectivity issues, and I was like, yeah, you know, like, it's not a big deal, you know, I guess it can be fine, and then it seems like they've taken away the offline mode in the meantime. I'm like, that's messed up. That's totally uncool.
Error 37.
Yeah, I don't know. I was in the Diablo 3 beta as well, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this game, but I am not paying for a game that has an always online requirement.
Yeah, get out of here. But for me, I think some of my favorite RTSs, I actually, one of my favorites is one called Dark Reign. I enjoyed the first Perimeter. Perimeter 2 was terrible. they just changed too many mechanics that it feels like a broken game at times.
Yeah, right.
But I think one series that doesn't get a lot of love, that was kind of ahead of the curve, like what you mentioned with StarCraft 2, not StarCraft 2, StarCraft, how it interjected that storytelling element into, like, that ever-changing objectives and that kind of stuff. If we're talking RTS, that kind of went in that kind of route was the Supreme Commander games. And I'm talking the original Supreme Commander, not so much 2. 2 changed a few things and how stuff was done. I think they took that element by StarCraft. You had the changing objectives affected how things were done within game, you know, elements of the game. I think Supreme Commander is about the only one that's actually been able to expand on that and be like, because it gave you increments of the map as things expanded, so did the game world at the time, or the game map. And you could get very, very, very big game maps. And I think it was one of those first games where it was like, you know how in StarCraft you had, you know, the ultimate weapons for every, you know, the Terrans or the Protoss or any of those. You had, like, the battle cruisers for the Protoss and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think that got one-upped when you had things like the giant walking robots with laser guns that were in Supreme Commander and that were essentially just, like, able to destroy entire towns by themselves. I think the uniqueness of that was something that I really liked. I actually did enjoy the story elements. I won't say I was invested so much, but I did enjoy the fact that it felt like it expanded on that StarCraft formula, I think. I think that's why I really enjoy that game and the expansion for Forge Alliance.
So I've just compared some dates, and I realized that I said something that was factually incorrect. Dune 2 was not my first real-time strategy. Megalomania, which I played on the Amiga. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I may well be the only person on the planet who's heard of that. But it was this neat kind of small-scale, I don't know if I want to say small-scale. You didn't have direct unit controls like you do. So it's, in that respect, it's kind of like, Oil Rush, where you don't control the units directly. You just control the build orders and stuff. So it's like that, except it's got a lot more in-depth resource management, and you like allocate some of your population to research, like R&D, allocate some of your population to like mining and gathering resources and stuff. And you start off as like these primitive, you know, people wearing loincloths and carrying sticks kind of thing. Well, actually, no, you got to research sticks. So, you know, you start off with nothing. As you research new technologies and stuff, you progress in a tech, you know, you advance through the tech levels, right up through to where you've got like UFOs and spaceships and stuff that you're raining hell down upon little cavemans on the other, zones. And so the map is divided into tiles, I guess. And the tile you build a building on, and once you build a building, you can start researching there, you can start building a population there. The more population that you have that isn't doing something, the faster your population grows, because they're able to breed. And yeah, it was really cool. You could form alliances with the other factions, or four factions, and, you know, when everyone else died, the alliance would be broken up, so you had to kill them anyway, which is kind of funny. But yeah, like that. That is a really cool game that I love the hell out of, and I think has influenced me a bunch as a developer, and I'm looking forward to doing something that like really reflects the impact that that game had on me in the future.
So in that kind of topic, if you had to choose one strategy game, and that was the only one you could play,
if I had to put one strategy game in,
the only one you could ever play ever again.
I kind of like the idea of like not what would I play if I had to put a real-time strategy in like a box, and it would be the, you know, the primary representative of real-time strategies in 100 years time, like, you know, representing what real-time strategies were today. It would possibly be like Alpha Centauri.
I got 4X.
Alpha Centauri is just amazing on all fronts. Like, it hits some really cool story beats. It hits some really cool, you know, it is the embodiment of the kind of game that Civilization is, you know. But it has this sense of unknown about it. Whereas with Civ, you know, you always know what's coming because we know our history, right? And even for those who don't, it's the same every time. So, you know. And then that's kind of what makes Civilization BE a little bit interesting, or Beyond Earth a bit interesting to me as well. It's that same kind of like, you can take different routes through the tech tree, and you can take different approaches to different things. But Alpha Centauri is just, yeah, I think that's a really cool pinnacle. And it apparently had a Linux version back in the day as well, which is cool.
So, okay, that'd be your pinnacle of example. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, currently, what would be the one that you would use for if it was just Linux?
Well, I mean, that does have Linux support, or was published for Linux. I don't know if you can still get your hands on the binaries for it and maybe play it with
let me rephrase this. Modern-ish, not...
If I had to pick one from like games that I'm currently playing, it's going to be Invisible Ink or Massive Chalice, and it would probably be Massive Chalice because I really love the way the ending of that game ties in to every decision that you've made up to that point. Like, typically when you have a game, you get to the end and there's some big boss, and most of the resonance comes from like narrative structure and narrative things that are placed. Like, there are a few exceptions, and like things like Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is a really cool example of how you can have like mechanical resonance, and Master Chalice does something really cool with its finale that I totally wasn't expecting, and it's kind of sad in that if you're really good at the game, you will probably miss it, but if you're like, and the game's meant to be about holding out and struggling to survive, and if that's how you're playing, if you're playing at that level, as opposed to just walking all over everything, then that's when the game shines the most, I think.
That's a hard choice. If I had to choose one game that exemplified what I enjoy about strategy games, it'd probably be a game called Imperium Galactica 2.
I've not heard of that.
It is a 4X game that is I don't know how to describe it. 4X is being, the typical what it is, but the way that it is what makes it so interesting. Like, you know, it's Conquer the Galaxy, basically, as it always is. There are story elements to it. The three species that you can play are just so different. I mean, you have one that is the typical human, so you have, like, the typical humanity traits. You have one that is completely all-out war. Like, that, they are the Imperial, imperialistic type.
Angry man.
They are the Empire Builders, essentially. But because of that aggression, they do not have access to the diplomacy. The humans have access to the diplomacy. All right. They have access to stronger weapons, but they, I believe, are worse off on, like, there's always a, for every pro, there's a con to it is balanced well.
And that's really hard.
There's a species that is, they are weaker militaristically, but they are better with, like, espionage and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I used to play the diplomacy species. The name escapes me right now. But you could, like, incite riots on the planet, and, like, they would join you. Like, if you were successful, they would join you. Or, you know, it was just, you could, like, design your own ships within and have, there's just so much to it. GOG doesn't have it. Oh, it irks me. Because I have to find a CD-based version that is 3 discs, and trying to get a modern OS to actually recognize it, I don't want to run it in a VM. It irks me. So, but that is probably the game. That is probably the one game that I would be like, 4X, RTS, strategy type game, whatever. That would be the one that I would, like, consistently play all the time, every day. It runs off. I know it's, if you run it in Wine, I think it's gold on Wine right now. So it might run with some issues, if I remember correctly, how Wine is, Actually, you've heard of Nexus Jupiter Incident, right? It runs on, you can get it on Steam for like $2. It's usually pretty cheap.
It's made by the same developer.
Well, it was actually supposed to be a continuation of, it was supposed to be Imperium Galactica 3, but it got reworked and changed to what it is now, which is more of a strategized ship-to-ship battles, I guess. Because the original developer folded, unfortunately, but that's neither here nor there. If I had to choose one for Linux, I would probably go with Medieval 2 Total War. And it's always just one more turn. So those would be the ones that I would choose personally. Yeah. But
I'm trying to think of what other RTSs I like got into but we haven't mentioned. I played a whole bunch of Star Trek Armada. I thought that was kind of neat. I really liked that when you finish the four main campaigns, that a fifth, surprise you didn't expect that there was more type campaign appears. Cool. I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, I love this game. It's kind of sad that I'm at the end. And then, oh, shit, there's more. Hooray!
I was going to say, the thing I loved about the Armada game was I always loved, like, the ultimate tech for each, the ultimate, like, one thing. Like, the Borg was the transwarp conduit. So you could, like, just, I discovered this portion of the map. I'm going to send a bunch of cubes in here. Oh, hey, look, I win.
It did a good job of making you feel pretty powerful. I never played I didn't even know if it had multiplayer, but I have no idea how all that stuff would feel if it was balanced. Like, when you got to that point.
So those are some of our favorites. We've talked about some of the ones that the community talked about. We mentioned the ones that from Liam's list. So other than that, I really don't have much more else to add to this show. So unless you do, Cheese, I'm ready to sign off.
Well, I was going to briefly mention another turn-based strategy. That has recently come to Linux or is about to launch on Linux. It's called The Living Dungeon, and the developer had a couple of hurdles that they hit along the way, which offered them some advice to work through. It's got some rough edges, some of the the animation and graphic style is a little bit stiff, but honestly, that's not what you play strategy games for. But I think it's a neat concept, right? Like, so the idea is that you've got this grid, and on it are these kind of map tiles for each grid square, and the map tile is like suspended above a void or some space or something, and the tile may not take up all of the space, so it might be a narrow catwalk or something, and part of you roll these dice, and some of them have special things that let you do, and that might be to replace that map tile with a random map tile, or to rotate the map tile or something, and so you can like flip a map tile and all the units on it will, you know, be in a falling state. The new tile comes in, it doesn't cover where the ground where the other units were, and then if they don't roll a jump dice, then, or if they don't get a jump ability in their dice rolls, then they'll fall down into the void and die on the next turn. And it's kind of, yeah, it's a really neat concept, and it kind of expands on that with a whole bunch of other abilities that different characters have, and yeah, I'm finding myself looking forward to playing more.
And on that note, before there are comments about, you know, we didn't discuss strictly Linux stuff, it's context and comparisons is a lot of it. We did.
Well, I'm glad to say that my three favorite real-time strategies, or sorry, they're not real-time. None of them are real-time. My three favorite strategy games right now are on Linux, and that's a great situation to be in.
Two of my top three are available on Linux, so I can't say much, so...
No, it's
other
good.
Than that,
it's
guys, you found out some of our favorite strategy games. So we'll be signing off for this episode. So talk to you guys next time.